I am loving.
I am fabulous.
I am beautiful.
I am saved.
I am a victor.
I am faithful.
I am devout.
I am accepted.
I am a Christian. I am MCC.
And I am MCC.
I am MCC.
I am MCC.
And I am MCC.
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 Eternal and loving God, we thank you and praise you for the beauty found and expressed in the diversity of creation, and that you have made and declared all things good. Though we remain physically distant from one another, you continue to gather us in the fullness of your love. As we gather in worship and prayer, may we hear and see ourselves in the stories of our faith ancestors and find wisdom in them. As we gather in friendship and community, bless us with your healing and anointing through our holy conversation, one with you and one with each other. May we continue to love others as we love ourselves. And doing so, we are able to love you, Holy One. In our time of listening and sharing, may the words we receive become like seeds that will be planted in our hearts to grow and produce good fruits in our lives and in our community. This we pray in the name of all that is loving and in Christ Jesus, your child. Amen.
Unity, naming all the siblings, causing
Our scripture reading is taken from the first book of the prophet Samuel. We are reading from the NRSV translation. When David had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was bound to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David, because he loved him as his own soul. Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that he was wearing and gave it to David, and his armor, and even his sword, and his bow, and his belt. In these human words, God's word is heard. May the words we receive inspire us, comfort us, and challenge us.
So today we'll talk about queer stories in the Bible. Yes, there are queer stories in the Bible. If this is your first time to attend and to listen to this, to know this. So, sexuality in the ancient times, so review lang, no, para magets natin yung magiging discussion today. Sexuality in ancient times is patriarchal, meaning men only, lalaki lang ang merong sexual freedom at sexual agency. And not just any men, not just any man. Lalaki who is free, a man that is an adult, a fully anywhere from late 20s onwards, basta't hindi na feminine looking yung guy or yung man, then that's the only human being na merong sexual agency. Everyone else is a sexual object of the man during that time. Walang sexual agency ang women. Women were either for the pleasure of the man or for giving birth. Later, madi-discuss natin because, especially sa Old Testament, sa Hebrew Testament, salvation in the Old Testament is not about going to heaven. Actually, wala kang masyadong mababasa sa Old Testament about going to heaven except for Enoch and Elijah. Going to heaven. The salvation in the Old Testament is about continuing your bloodline as a man. So women are only important in as much as they are able to give birth to a boy. No? So, kaya walang sexual agency ang babae. Hindi nila iniisip na sexual din pala ang babae in the ancient times. Okay? A young boy up until about mid-20s can be a sexual object of an adult man. Doon ang gagaling ang word na pederasty. Or in our time today, which is considered as a crime, is pedophilia. But in ancient times, pederasty is a custom. It is a known practice. Marriage in ancient times is not about love. It's about
Economics,
inheritance, political allegiances. Diba? Game of Thrones. Ano ba kang Game of Thrones? Game of Thrones? Wala. It's about allegiances. 99% of the time, men will have their legal wives. But most likely, they do not love each other. That's why you have what we call a concubine. The concubine, ang concubine hindi yan prostitute, ha? Iba pa ang prostitute. A concubine is usually the one that the man has sexual and intimate relations with. And it can be one, it can be two, it can be three, it can be another boy. Not just a woman. So yan ang sexual context in the ancient times. The other thing, anal penetration before was a known practice by soldiers to torture and abuse their enemies. Pag natalo yung kabilang army, they can rape the other, not because they are gay, not because they find pleasure and intimacy in penetrating the other soldiers, but because if kung meron man pleasure doon, ang pleasure doon ay yung dominance of the other. Pinakita natin yan yun sa first session when one Roman general who became an emperor fucked another general who also became another emperor. So yan ang context. So the konting review lang para maintindihan natin ang session today. Lastly, textual analysis. Anong ibig sabihin yan?
Kung anong type ng literary form.
Literary form. Ano pa?
Poet, narrative.
Narrative. Ano pa? When you read the Bible, hindi ka pwedeng kukuha ka ng sitas kay Romans, kukuha ka kay Isaiah, iboboltes 5 mo without considering the different context of the two. When you interpret a verse in the Bible, you also have to read yung buong chapter noon at yung buong libro. Hindi pwedeng kuha-kuha ka lang, pitas-pitas ka ng verse, and then that's it. You interpret it according to your, ngayon mapapractice natin siya. We will use historical context today, and we will analyze the stories, kung bakit siya bakit kinonsider natin siya as queer stories in the Bible. Ngayon, two of the stories ay napakahaba. It runs several chapters in the book of Samuel. Dadaanan natin yung buong kwento, pero ang babasahin lang natin from the text are yung significant portions niya. Pero dadaanan natin yung buong kwento. Okay? Okay po ba? Okay. Sige. So we will first learn about the story of Jonathan and David. Sino si Jonathan? From your Bible school days or catechism days? Or sino si David? Siyempre, mas kilala si David. David ba siya?
David and Goliath.
Yes. Yung story ni David at Goliath. So, David who eventually became king of Israel. Si Jonathan, who is Jonathan? The son of King Saul. So, Prince Jonathan. Okay, so titingnan natin ang kanilang bromance today. At ang kanilang pag-iibigang hindi pwedeng mangyari. Tingnan natin.
When Saul saw David go out against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the commander of the army, "Abner, whose son is this young man?" Abner said, "As your soul lives, O king, I do not know." The king said, "Inquire whose son the stripling is." On David's return from killing the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul, with the head of the Philistine in his hand. Saul said to him, "Whose son are you, young man?" And David answered, "I am the son of your servant Jesse the Bethlehemite."
Okay, so yan yung second time na na-meet ni King Saul si David. And David is considered as a young man, meaning he is anywhere from about 16 years old to about 25, 27 years old. Yan ang range pag tinawag kang young man in those times. Pag tinawag kang boy, it's from baby to about 12, 13 years old. So young man is about 16, 18 years old to about 25, 27.
When David had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was bound to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David, because he loved him as his own soul. Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that he was wearing, and gave it to David, and his armor, and even his sword and his bow and his belt.
Okay, so magkasunod yun, yung verse kanina is from chapter 17, diretso kagad na kasunod nito. Unang beses nakita ni Jonathan si David. The first time that Jonathan saw David. At ang sabi dyan, the soul of Jonathan was bound to the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Kung tatagalugin natin, at ang kaluluwa ni Jonathan, ay umugnay sa kaluluwa ni David. At minahal at inibig siya ni Jonathan tulad ng pag-ibig niya sa kanyang kaluluwa. O sa kanyang sarili. And then, the last part, because he loved him as his own soul, Jonathan, hinubad ni Jonathan ang kanyang damit na kanyang suot-suot. Ibinigay ito kay David. Tinanggal din ang kanyang armor at pati ang kanyang espada at ang kanyang pana at ang kanyang belt ay ibinigay kay Jonathan. In short, naghubad si Kuya at binigay lahat kay David. Anong implications niyan sa tingin niyo? In ancient times, well, number one, if you know the historical context of ancient times, di ba prinsipe si Jonathan? So, mas may privilege, royalty eh, no? Mas may privilege si Jonathan kesa kay David. For Jonathan to give ang kanyang royal armor, royal weapons, maski yung kanyang robe, royal robes to David, it means it is a very important, it is a very significant act of affection. Hindi yan mag-best friend. Because in ancient times, binibigay lang ang iyong armor, ang iyong sword, and in your weapon, especially if you are a prince, a warrior prince, it is only given to your, sa tingin nyo, kanino lang siya binibigay? It is given to your wife, if you have a wife, or it is given to your mother, or to your father. Ngayon, sige, consider natin, baka nga mag-best friend lang. Pwede naman yun. Pero ang ibibigay mo lang, siguro sword lang, or yung shield lang, hindi ang buong. Because if you give all of those to the other person, these are symbols of your own life. These are symbols of your privilege and your royalty. So to give everything to a peasant shepherd, David was a shepherd. No royal entitlement, probinsyano, taga Bethlehem. For the prince to give all, his all, to David, it only means hindi yan mag-best friend. Hindi yan mag-best friend. Hindi yan brotherly love. So ito yung action na nakasulat sa Book of Samuel, ha. Hindi lang niya binigay. Bakit niya binigay? Jonathan loved him as his own soul. minahal niya ang isa pang lalaki katulad ng pagmamahal niya, hindi lang sa katawan, pagmamahal niya sa sarili niyang kaluluwa. Ang lalim. So i-skip natin yung ilang verses. Bilang isang young man, napatay niya si Goliath, nananalo siya sa mga war against the Philistines, si David. So natuwa ang mga tao kay David. Buong court ni Saul ay natutuwa kay David. So nagseselos tong si King Saul kay David. At natatakot siya na i-replace siya ni David. So unang beses niyang trinay patayin si David. And the first time that Saul tried to kill David, nag-appeal ang Jonathan. Jonathan appealed to the king, to his father, the king. At ito yung sabi.
Saul spoke with his son Jonathan and with all his servants about killing David. But Saul's son Jonathan took great delight in David. Jonathan told David, "My father Saul is trying to kill you. Therefore be on guard tomorrow morning. Stay in a secret place and hide yourself. I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where you are, and I will speak to my father about you. If I learn anything, I will tell you." Jonathan spoke well of David to his father Saul, saying to him, "The king should not sin against his servant David, because he has not sinned against you, and because his deeds have been of good service to you."
So another clue. Sabi doon, because Jonathan took great delight. Delight pala si David, no? Delightful. No? Hindi natin binasa kanina, pero earlier, way, way earlier, in the book of Samuel, David is described as having beautiful eyes and a handsome young man. Pag isinulat sa Bible yung ganyang description, ibig sabihin, beautiful ka talaga. No? Maala Bellamy, Bellamy, men.com. Huwag na tayo maglokohan, mga kapatid. So, at yun nga. So, another clue is, in the text, it is said, Jonathan took great delight of David when he made an appeal to his father, the king. So, hindi natapos doon. Patuloy kasing naging popular si David kasi nga bukod sa gwapo siya, bata, young man, at napaka-weird, hindi man weird, parang it is an amazing thing that a young man, wala namang masyadong alam sa military conquest, sa pakikipaggera, ay nananalo laban sa kalabang army. So he continued to be popular among the people and among the household of King Saul. So patuloy na nagseselos si King Saul. So dalawang beses pa niya ulit trinay patayin si David. And then one of the things bago niya trinay patayin ulit si David, ipinakasal ni King Saul ang kanyang anak, kapatid ni Jonathan, daughter niya si Michal, kay David. Kasi isip niya, kung asawa ni David ang anak niya, ang kanyang anak na babae, hindi magtatangka si David sa kanya. Or palitan siya, whatever, ganyan. Remember again, marriage in ancient times is not about love. It is about political allegiances. It's about political economic strategy. At pag binasa niyo ang buong kwento ni David, halos parang istatwa lang si Michal sa kanya. Walang isinulat na affection for Michal. Although sinabi Michal loved David. Okay?
David fled from Naioth in Ramah. He came before Jonathan and said, "What have I done? What is my guilt? And what is my sin against your father that he is trying to take my life?" He said to him, "Far from it. You shall not die. My father does nothing either great or small without disclosing it to me. And why should my father hide this from me? Never." But David also swore, "Your father knows well that you like me. And he thinks, do not let Jonathan know this, or he will be grieved. But truly, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, there is but a step between me and death."
Okay. So sabi ni David, alam ni Fad, alam ni Daddy mo kung anong meron tayo. Alam ni Daddy mo that you like me very much. Nakasulat, nasa Bible 'yan.
If I am still alive, show me the faithful love of the Lord. But if I die, never cut off your faithful love from my house. Even if the Lord were to cut off every one of the enemies of David from the face of the earth. Thus Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, "May the Lord seek out the enemies of David." Jonathan made David swear again by his love for him. For he loved him as he loved his own life.
No, paulit-ulit yan. Sa kwento ni David at ni Jonathan, paulit-ulit na binabanggit that Jonathan loved David as his own life, as his own soul. Jonathan delighted with David. Jonathan loved David as his own soul. Paulit-ulit yan. And they made a covenant. They made a covenant na even their descendants must be always be united together. Kasi nga, in ancient times, salvation for them is the continuation of your bloodline. So ang eternal love, ang sumpaang wagas para kay David at kay Jonathan ay ang kanilang dalawang lahi ay patuloy na magkaugnay. Okay. So yun yun. Jonathan made David swear again. Sumumpa ka sa iyong pagmamahal para sa akin. For he loved him as his own life. So ang kwento kasi niyan, tumakas na si David kasi nga ilang beses na siyang inattempt patayin ni King Saul. At yung pag-uusap nila doon was, "Aalamin ko kung talagang papatayin ka ng tatay ko. Ngayon, anuman ang mangyari, isumpa mo sa akin na ang ating mga lahi ay patuloy na magiging magkaugnay." Ganyan ni Jonathan. "Pero aalamin ko kung gusto ka talagang patayin ng tatay ko." So, si Jonathan umuwi sa palasyo. Piyesta noon. May piyesta, may celebration. At aalamin niya kung papatayin talaga siya. Papatayin talaga si David. So, nandun sila sa dinner table, in the royal dinner table. Andun ang family, andun ang court. So, Game of Thrones banquet. Yan, di ba? Andun ang hari, andun ang ano lang. Sa King's Landing. Ngayon, hinahanap ni King Saul, asan si David? Bakit wala siya dito? Baka meron siyang ginawang hindi naaayon sa batas, kaya hindi siya pwede mag-celebrate kasama natin. So, nung several, piyesta kasi yan, no? So, several days of celebration. So, after the day of the new moon, David's place was still empty. Wala pa rin. So, nagtataka ang haring si Saul. Asaan si David? "Why has the son of Jesse not come to the feast either yesterday or today?" At sumagot ang prinsipe. David earnestly asked to leave, umuwi sa Bethlehem. Siyempre, hindi yung totoo. He said, "Let me go for our family is holding a sacrifice in the city. My brother has commanded me to be there. So now, if I have found favor in your sight, let me get away and see my brothers because of the piesta." So ano lang yun? Excuse lang. So yun yung sinabi niyang dahilan sa kanyang tatay bakit wala si David sa piyestang ito. So nagalit ang tatay. Dad became angry. Then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan. He said to him, "You son of a perverse, rebellious woman, do I not know that you have chosen the son of Jesse to your own shame and to the shame of your mother's nakedness?" Analyze muna natin yan. Sabi niya, "You are a son of a perverse and rebellious woman." Ilan bang mga beks na pag nalaman ng tatay na beks sila, ang unang sisisihin ay ang nanay? Masyado mo kasing either masyado mong binibaby or hindi mo dinidisiplina, etc. ganyan. "Do I not know that you have chosen the son of Jesse to your own shame? Hindi ba't pinili mo ang anak ni Jesse sa kahihiyan mo at sa kahihiyan ng kahubaran ng iyong ina?" Ano kinalaman ng kahubaran ng nanay mo kung mag-best friend lang naman kayo? At bakit nagagalit ang tatay mo kung mag-best friend lang kayo? Kung sa utak ng tatay mo, mag-best friend lang kayo. Kung sa utak ng tatay mo, kaya siya nagagalit kasi papalitan ako nito bilang hari at sinusuportahan mo naman siya. Bakit merong "to the shame of your mother's nakedness"? Which actually means genitalia ng ina. Ikinukumpara siya sa kahubaran ng kanyang ina. Eh hindi ba nung unang verse naghubad siya at ang mga royal symbols of power ay binigay niya kay David? So alam ni Dad, Dad knows. At dito na nga, lumabas na sa sarili niyang bibig na alam ko kung anong meron kayo. So, this also means I am really meant to kill David. Not only because David is a threat to me politically, but because you love him, because you like him, because you are bringing shame to our family. Ano unang sasabihin ng tatay? Nakakahiya sa ating pamilya.
May anak ako, bakula. Ako ang hari. I'm a warrior king. And my son
ay nagkukos ng kahihiyan sa aking pangalan. So ito na ang huli nilang pagkikita.
In the morning, Jonathan went out into the field to the appointment with David, and with him was a little boy. He said to the boy, "Run and find the arrows that I shoot." As the boy ran, he shot an arrow beyond him. When the boy came to the place where Jonathan's arrow had fallen, Jonathan called after the boy and said, "Is the arrow not beyond you?" Jonathan called after the boy, "Hurry, be quick. Do not linger." So Jonathan's boy gathered up the arrows and came to his master. But the boy knew nothing. Only Jonathan and David knew the arrangement. Jonathan gave his weapons to the boy and said to him, "Go and carry them to the city."
Kasi nung bago naghiwalay si, unang beses naghiwalay si David at si Jonathan na aalamin niya yung gusto talagang gawin ng hari kay David, sabi, nag-usap sila na magkikita sila sa isang lugar. Sa isang talahiba, nakasulat yan, in the fields. Sa isang talahibang walang tao. At ito na yon, kikita tayo. Magkita tayo doon, ito magiging signal ko. So, yun. Tapos pinauwi na ni Jonathan yung kasama niyang boy, which is 12 years old, 13 years old. So, umuwi na. So, siya na lang ang nandun. Lalabas sa pinagtataguan niya si David.
As soon as the boy had gone, David rose from beside the stone heap and prostrated himself with his face to the ground. He bowed 3 times, and they kissed each other, and wept with each other. David wept the more. Then Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, since both of us have sworn in the name of the Lord, saying, 'The Lord shall be between me and you, and between my descendants and your descendants, forever.'" He got up and left. And Jonathan went into the city.
Wedding vow, no? Sumpaan sa kalahiban. Hindi ko na-explain. It explains itself. And David wept the more. At ito ang huli nilang pagkikita. Ito ang huli nilang pagkikita. They embrace each other and they kiss each other, wept while doing it, umiiyak habang ginagawa yon. And David wept the more, all the more. Na-imagine na, nung bata kayo, ano yung na-imagine si David? Macho, lalaking lalaki, no? Militar. The last time that they saw each other. And the next time na mamimension si Jonathan ay nung patay na si Jonathan. In the second book of Samuel, chapter 1. Kasi namatay na si Jonathan at si King Saul. Sumugod ang mga Philistines at bago makubkob, bago mahuli si Jonathan at si Saul, actually si Saul napatay, si Jonathan napatay siya. Si Saul naman, ayaw niyang makuha siya ng buhay. So, itinarak niya ang espada niya sa lupa at he killed himself. He plunged himself onto the sword. So, namatay silang dalawa. So, the second book of Samuel begins with the first chapter of the second book of Samuel begins with the lament of David, ang pagluluksa ni David. At si David, according to the author of second book of Samuel, ay sumulat ng kanta para kay Saul at kay Jonathan. The last part of the song of the lament is this part, the last part.
How the mighty have fallen in the midst of the battle. Jonathan lies slain upon your high places. I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. Greatly beloved were you to me. Your love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women.
The other thing that you will not notice unless you really, really read the entire book and the entire story of David, many people were mentioned to love David. But the only time, the single time that David said that he loved someone was this verse. 7 to 8 people mentioned in the Bible loved David. But the only time that it was ever written and mentioned that David loved someone was his love for Jonathan. At ang anong sabi? Passing higit pa sa pag-ibig ng mga babae. Now, the other thing that you need to know about, bakit bawal sila? Bakit bawal silang maging magjuwa? What is the sexuality in ancient times? It can only be between unequal. meaning it cannot be both men of the same age, both free men. Pwede lang maging magjowa kung 40 years old si Jonathan at 18 years old si David, or the reverse. Or kung babae, kasi nga inferior ang babae. But two fully grown men or fully grown young men cannot be of relationship with each other. Kasi nga patriarchal ang society. Punta tayo sa next queer story. Kay Ruth at Naomi. Sa Old Testament, sa Hebrew Testament, wala kang mababasang law against women intimacy. So meron tayo between men, yung Leviticus 18:20. No man shall lie with another man as one lies with a woman. Sa Deuteronomy, merong prohibition about there shall not be among the people of Israel a Kadesh and Kedesha. Kadesh and Kedesha. Na tinatranslate nila as sodomite, pero wrong translation yun. Ang translation nun is male prostitute and female prostitute, which is actually temple prostitution. Pero there is nothing in the Old Testament, Hebrew Testament, that is mentioned about women being sexually intimate with each other. Bakit? Balik tayo sa context, sa sexual historical context noon. Lalaki lang ang nagsulat ng iba't ibang libro ng Bible. Number two, ibasa nga po sabay-sabay.
Ancient men thought of sex only through their lens. Only men had sexual agency.
Therefore, number three,
they never knew or imagined that sex and intimate relationships were possible among women.
And lastly,
very few to almost no resources we have about our relationships with women. Although we have stories of Iphis and
Ianti. Yung story ni Iphis, it's a Greek story na yung manganganak yung asawa ng isang, I don't know, Greek lord or something. Papatayin niya daw yung bata pag ito ay lumabas na babae. So nung lumabas yung bata babae, pinalabas nung nanay na at nung kumadrona na ito ay lalaki. So pinalaki siya na parang lalaki. And when she came of age, pinakasal siya sa isang babae. So that's one of the very, very few, halos walang resources about lesbian relationships. Kasi nga, ang sex noon ay para lang sa lalaki. Okay?
Loving God, we know that you are ever present with us and in our lives. You are with us in all of our laughter and celebrations, and as much as you are also with us in times of sorrows and tears. You have shown your faithfulness, loving God, and we continue to trust in you in our continuing journey. In a moment of silence, let us pray for our personal intentions and the people we love. United in Christ and gathered by your Spirit, we pray for one another as a church community. We pray for the metropolitan community churches all around the world. We pray for Reverend Cecilia Eggleston, together with the Council of Elders, the Governing Board, the denominational staff and volunteers. We pray for our church community, Open Table MCC, We have journeyed far and long. We have been faithful to our calling and mission as best as we can, and through it all, you have been with us, Holy One. You have shown your love and faithfulness to us over the years. Our bodies and spirits now seek sabbatical rest, a time of healing and a space for restoration and renewal. We ask that you hallow the month of August for our community as a time of prayerful Sabbath. In this time of Sabbath, we also pray for rest, healing, and renewal for Pastor Joseph and all our leaders, Chris, Sean, Jack, Josh, Dan, and Kuya Vince. Bless, protect, and preserve all our leaders, members, and volunteers. We also pray for all our allies, supporters, and givers. You know their names, their hearts, and their lives. We ask for your blessing upon them and to return to them their generosity in many and different ways. But we do not only pray for ourselves, but also for the world that longs for healing and restoration. We continually pray for healing and strength for all COVID-19 patients, especially those who are in the hospitals and in critical care. We also pray for all the medical and other hospital staff caring for them. We pray for the repose of the soul of all of those who have died during this pandemic. Welcome them into your eternal embrace. Grant comfort and grace to their grieving families. We pray for all the economically poor, especially those who lost their jobs and small businesses, including LGBTQI+ families and individuals. We pray for people living with HIV and AIDS, especially those who are also in the hospitals right now. We pray that as the world in our country slowly overcomes this pandemic, may we learn from the lessons and the countless deaths that showed us the brokenness of our political and social structures. May we all participate in changing the world of justice, compassion, and peace. Lastly, we pray for anyone and everyone who are suffering right now, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually, especially young LGBTQI+ Filipinos. These and many other prayers we entrust to you, God of rest and healing. May our prayers lead us to both healing and loving action in the name of all that is holy and in Jesus Christ, the one who taught us to pray and the one whom we follow. Amen.